Welcome to the Tie Less Than podcast number 346. We are recording this on a Monday evening, a good 48 hours after the game against the Posh, which saw us lose for that. I said the first time this season, but for the first game this season, wasn't the result we all wanted. However, there were green shoots, I think, in the performance. And here to talk through that with me this evening, as always, is a very, very, very jet lagged. Ross Webber this evening. How are you, sir?
This is the least fresh, I would say, I am after doing the podcast. I'm about as fresh as Tom McIntyre's legs in the 85th minute when they started to cramp. So, nice, yeah, nice. 18 hours of travel yesterday from around about Andover in the UK to nearish Portland, Maine. It was a long one, but I'm on the other end of it. And you know what? It meant that I got to be in the stadium this weekend, so I can't complain.
Well, exactly. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Before we get into the recap, just want to shout out to ZC Said Films, our sponsors, as always, who give us all the money that we need to be able to sustain what we're doing. And, of course, just generally support us and kind of pat us on the back as we go along. So huge thanks to them. We are going to get into the recap now with a review of the Posh game.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Right, so performance wasn't what we wanted. I think, you know, when we talked about it last week, it was very much doom and gloom, Ross. But as the kind of week went on, you know, Fickle fans as well, I can't speak for everyone, but as I am, you know, we had a new kit. We had a nice event on Thursday evening down the Turtle. We had a couple of signings through the door. And all of a sudden, things started to look like they were picking up. You know, we had Wing signed. We had Savage signed and registered to go. But ultimately, we couldn't get those 3 points. Kind of aside from the result, you were quite encouraged by the style of play, weren't you, Ross?
I enjoyed watching it a lot. And it's great being there so you can actually hear what they're yelling at each other. And Ruben Sellers does yell a lot on the touchline. He got himself a yellow this game for yelling very close to the ref when he'd come over to book a Reading player, I think. I liked the way we were playing. They came out in a 4-2-2-2, as we saw through preseason and as we expected. And I think early concerns from talking with Sim before the game and others were, how on earth is Carroll going to press as part of this structure? Answer, he didn't a whole lot, but he did what was necessary. He provided another option. You know, regardless of whether it's in a Paul Ince team, regardless of whether it's in a Ruben Sellers team, very different stuff. You can still knock it over to Carroll for a header back over, I suppose. So it was interesting to see that. I thought Reading were, I'm actually interested in your opinion on this. I thought Reading were actually really good in the first half. But what killed them in this game was they just came out too slow in the second half. Took them about 20, 25 minutes to get going again. And so I think that it's going to take time for these new players to gel. Overall, a really encouraging first half. It's clear that there's actually some positive vibes in the club locker room. Still an imperfect performance. But you know, better than we saw last season.
I love the term locker room. It's not used enough in this country, honestly. Yeah. We're changing room. Yeah. Dressing room, but probably changing room. But I'm not keen on the term roster. I don't like that.
Okay. No.
I'm good with locker room. I like that. And I've started using things like top office as well.
Oh yeah.
It's just like a proper American sport thing. But anyway,
I didn't even think of it when I said it. So good one to raise. Sorry.
Exactly. You know. I'll jot that down for next time. We'll talk about the locker room. I mean, similar to you, like I thought the first 20 minutes was probably as positive as we've been maybe since, you know, Blackburn last year at home, and we won sort of 3-0, which was probably the last result I was like, and performance was like, that's a really good, you know, really, really pleased with that. I suppose the benefit of recording this, you know, 48 hours after the game is that you get time to reflect and you're not in the heat of the moment stuff.
Yeah.
But my opinion is kind of the same as it was, you know, straight after full time, in the fact that there's a lot of green shoots there. I think there's a lot of good stuff that can come out of this team. I think they need help. I think they need backup. And, you know, we kind of strengthened today, literally just before we went on the air, with Tyler Bindon come in, who, you know, you may or may not know a little bit about, sort of, you know, being from American and under 21s and stuff. But yeah, I thought there were some really green shoots. The goal was sloppy. The goal was really, really poor.
Yeah.
From someone who's played wing back, full back, whatever you want to call it, like, I was always told to stop the cross and then track the runner. And neither Guinness Walker or Andy Yeardon did that. And that was really, really frustrating. I mean, the angle of the header, you know, as he kind of headed it, he was right in front of me. I was like, that's never going in. And it's somehow a little bit of a fluke, I guess. You know, goalie position could be questionable, and we'll talk about goalies in a little bit. But yeah, on the whole, I think there was some good stuff. Did anyone play brilliantly? Not really. Did anyone have a massively tragic game? No. I mean, I've seen some stuff about Aziz, but again, it's too early. Like, we haven't had we have had a preseason, but it's been heavily disrupted.
He's actually 3 weeks away. Not to stop you, Ben, but Aziz is actually probably the guy I've gone back and forth with the game on Saturday the most on, whereby, you know, when you are in the heat at the moment, I was a little more frustrated because, damn it, they've lost, you know, the game that I'm going to get to see and I won't be back for a while. And Aziz is one of the players that was catching some of my ire. But I actually think, thinking back and watching the highlights especially, I was like, oh, okay. So, I mean, Aziz tired in the second half, and I think the problem was he kept trying to take people on even when he was tired, and he just wasn't able to do it anymore. But he created chances as well in the first half, so worth mentioning.
I think the frustrating thing there is that if we'd had Walcott, that would have been a game that you got, you know what, you have 60 minutes and he would have absolutely terrorized, you know, the wing backs in there. And even from a mental point of view, if I'm a League One fullback and I'm lining up and I'm going, right, I've got to deal with Carroll in the middle, potentially on corners, if I'm on corners, and I've got to put up with Theo Walcott coming at me. Like, it's just not going to be a nice game, is it?
No.
And with Carroll, like, yeah, he did all right. It's difficult to work out whether or not he hinders the team or improves it. Obviously, his goal ratio isn't great. You know, his kind of playmaking is almost non-existent, but I think playing him and Ia Bitterman is not going to work long term. You've got to have one or the other in those roles. And certainly with, you know, with Kelvin up top, you know, as he played on Saturday, there was a lot of good stuff where there was balls into feet and he just lacked that final touch, that final kind of, you know, specific element to score the goal. So, yeah, there was some good stuff, really. I kind of want to get your thoughts on, I need to call him Robbie Savage, which would have been absolutely tragic, wouldn't it? And embarrassing for him.
First time out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's better than calling Ruben Sellers Ruben Nevers, I guess. Which is
That's true.
Yeah, we'll let Darren off for that one. I thought that Savage was okay. I thought he, and here's a word for you, Ross. Mm-hmm. I thought he was fairly rambunctious in his play. How about that for Shakespearean English?
Thomas, say that one more time for the
rambunctious.
Rambunctious. Very nice too. Very good.
What did you think of him overall? Like, did you think it was a good league debut for us? Did you think he could have done better? What was your overall vibe with him?
I like your word, actually. I think that is a good way of summing it up because, I thought that, strangely, he was one of the players that had, like, pressure on him of the new signings because, I mean, I know he's a 20-year-old kid, but he's come from Manchester United. He's got a infamous name. I'm not really sure if it's a famous name, but certainly I think some of the pressure for the new signings or all the pressure that was on the new signings was certainly on him. I thought that, yeah, he was certainly talent. You can see his talent. He can play the ball quickly and he can, you know, play the ball without really needing to take too many touches on it. When Wing came on, I thought that Wing, why he couldn't really move super well, was bouncing the ball off Savage nicely. So those are going to be two players I think are going to be able to get an understanding. But if you watch the highlights back, and if you saw the game, you'll know that he also gave the ball away a few times. And had to make up for a few mistakes that he had made. So, yeah, it was an up and down performance from a 20-year-old. But what I really saw was a player who was much more mature than many people of his age, sitting about eight rows back, which is great because I got to hear him when he's running around. He does sound a bit like his dad. And he was yelling at Nesta Guinness Walker for most of the first half, which I could understand a little bit. But he was just, you know, giving people instructions. He was coming around to just, you know, make sure that the ball was progressing well along the ground. And yeah, it was good to see. I don't think it was a perfect performance. I don't think he does either. He screwed up his arm tape and chucked it on the ground afterwards. And Sellers came over for a word with him, actually. But I thought there was a lot of promise there, and if we can smooth off some of the rough edges, then that's a great pickup for 4 years, whether that comes in the form of a bunch of great games for Reading or in the form of some money.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, you've got to remember, we have got him for 4 years, and this is the first game of what hopefully will be, you know, a lot of games. So, yeah, I thought he did all right. It's interesting about the pressure. I'd agree with that. I think the problem for him was that Nibs has been all the way right through the preseason, and Savage hasn't. Mm-hmm. And Nibs obviously was the other player who started the game, who kind of made his debut from the off, if you like, in the league. And he's kind of almost like furniture now. Like, he's just been, feels like he's been there forever.
Right.
I guess the other player really that caught my eye was Kalen Vickers when he came on. And I think it you know, from a not only a debutant's point of view, but from a really young player's point of view, first game of the season, you know, to my knowledge, had not really featured too much in pre-season. Might be wrong, I'd need to check that. But he's a very easy to play it safe and just go, right, do you know what, I'm gonna get the ball, I'm gonna lay it off, I'm gonna get my pass completion up and just grow into the game. He didn't do that. You know, he was kind of on the front foot straight away. And you could see for the first sort of 5-6 minutes, the Peterborough defenders were a bit kind of in shock, because like, hold on, literally, where's this kid come from?
Yeah.
And then he kind of settled down, and they kind of exerted their experience a little bit onto him in terms of the physicality and the way that the game was petering out at that point. Pardon the pun. So, you know, there's some encouraging signs there. And I think for some of those players, what is quite positive is that we've got, you know, two games this week. One is kind of a free hit against the Millwall side, who should be there or thereabouts, which we'll talk about later on. And obviously we're back in league action on Saturday. So, you know, tomorrow night in particular, because we're recording this now on a Monday, is kind of a good game for those players to come in and go, do you know what, I want to be in that team for Saturday and actually start competing for some points. So we'll see how that pans out. Before we move on to just talk about the women, because they had a kind of a pre-season friendly, or the first pre-season friendly this weekend, based on what you saw on Saturday, what would you say, okay, we need to get that done in the next 2-3 days, ready for you know, for example, for Port Vale on Saturday?
Yeah, for Port Vale on Saturday, I think that, you know, it's difficult because obviously we played pretty well. We still lost, and we need to get out of this winning run. But then at the same time, Port Vale went and lost 7-0 at the weekend. So there's a chance, you know, there's like a chance you could start thinking, wow, that's an easy hit. And I saw somebody saying that they conceded a lot of goals from set plays, from crosses and things like that. So, I mean, we have this guy, you may have heard of him, Andy Carroll, who can reach a set play or a cross no matter where it's coming from. That still existed in his game on Saturday. So it's definitely something whereby we should be able to put that winning run to bed. So it's a difficult one. I'd like to see Kelvin and Kalen Vickers start next to each other against Millwall to see if they can build up some sort of chemistry. I agree with you that Vickers was exciting. The little double tap move that he did to get by his defender at one point, where he dragged it back into his own foot, it was probably my favorite moment of the game. Really nice bit of skill there. And yeah, just the fact that he was a confident addition to the attack, and really kind of got us going again after those first 25 minutes of the second half, says to me that he's ready to, you know, maybe start a game that is a free hit like Millwall. So yeah, I think use Millwall as a chance to bring in some of those people who are on the boundaries for Saturday. And if they play well, then Port Vale, you know, hopefully we, with whatever team we have, we should be able to put it, you know, put 3 points on the board. But, you know, it's difficult to say that when you're in a 14 game losing run. So, yeah.
I think, you know, if we're looking for Saturday, you know, you're looking at probably Carroll, or, well, not probably, you are. Carroll will feature at some point. Mm-hmm. obviously, Kelvin as well, but they're going to need some service. They're going to need some proper balls through or some crosses through. And I think realistically, if it's possible, and they're kind of almost prioritizing these sign-ins as we're led to believe at the moment to try and get them done before August, it's got to be, something along the lines of a winger or, attacking midfield or something, just to kind of get those balls going through and get them into the box, particularly as you say, against a Port Vale side who generally can't seem to defend any balls into the box at the moment. So yeah, we'll see how that one pans out. Women did play, or the women's team did have the first friendly of the pre-season schedule, drew 2-2 against Portsmouth, which isn't a bad result, all things considered. Couple of debuts there, Ormond in goal. And well, I say debut, but she's come back. Charlie Escort, who has come back from Birmingham, Welsh international. So it's great to see her make her second debut. Is that even a thing? I don't know. She was playing,
Yeah, I think so.
and managed to keep hold of Lily Woodham as well, which I'm very pleased about. Very, very good player. They play Lewis at the Drip and Pan Stadium, which I think is a cracking name for a
That is a
stadium.
good one.
Brilliant, isn't it? This weekend, that's £5. I think you can get them in advance, but you can also pay on the door, and they're available via the Reading FC women's ticketing site. They've kind of got games coming thick and fast really now, and they lead up to their home opener, which is going to be on September the 2nd. You will know that that was the game or the day that we were supposed to be playing Cambridge away, but Sky moved it to Monday night. The scumbags. Really looking forward to that as well. I've got mates in Cambridge, believe it or not. So I was looking forward to a weekend down there. But I will instead be going down to watch them play their opener against Charlton on the 2nd of September, which I think is a 5:15 kickoff, which seems a bit random to me, but
Yeah.
that's what they're doing. So yeah, so they're kind of well on their way, starting to build up some momentum, ready for their new season in the Women's Championship. Right, Ross, we're gonna head across or into rather. A very condensed mailbag, which isn't a bad thing, because we've got other things to go into.
Yeah,
So we're
we
going to
finally
do.
have football to discuss. It's always exciting.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it? It's really strange. So we're going to head into the mailbag after this short message.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
Right. Dan RFC says, how many sacrifices are needed for us to break our injury curse? Ross, I don't know if you're feeling supernatural in your jet lag, but I'll let you answer that one first of all. What do we do about these injuries? Sam Smith, pretty much 2 months out now, which is
Yeah.
an absolute disaster.
It's not great, is it? We're recording this on the Monday, and I saw that it's not the first time he's talked about it, but Raphael Varane, the Manchester United defender, was talking again today about how players play too many games. It's not good for their mental health, but it's also not good for their bodies, obviously. And even though we're in like lower leagues, we're obviously not playing elite football. And like these players aren't necessarily playing deep into international competitions every single year at this level. It certainly is the case that these players do play an awful lot of games, even compared to 10 or 15 years ago. So yeah, not having a player like Sam Smith is really annoying. And it does feel like we've had this sort of injury curse for a while now. But I think honestly, when you look around, it's hard to find a team that doesn't have something like this going on. There are lots of players whose careers have been just completely derailed by long injury periods. And for me, I always point back to the amount of games that players are asked to play every year. It's the first week of the season, right? Tom McIntyre, like I was saying, cramping clearly in the last 10 minutes of the game the other day. Other players were looking a little bit leggy by the end of it. And yet there are three games this week, So it's difficult. It's really, really difficult to play professional football, I guess, is my answer to this question. And so I just think the injuries are here to stay, unfortunately.
I think when you look at the larger clubs, I say larger clubs, but Wrexham, came across the pond to
Right,
you,
yeah.
not to you, but to, to LA this summer. I find it baffling, that I understand because obviously money talks, right? And they've got, an Asian market to fulfill. They've got a North American market to fulfill. They've got wherever else they're going to go on these European tours and these worldwide tours. But actually,
Right.
if I was a player, I'd be like, hold on a second. I've just done effectively August to May if I'm getting to finals. Obviously the Champions League was what, June, end of June or something. So that leaves me a very short window to spend time with my family, to go on holiday, to have a few beers, to eat some ice cream, whatever. And now you're asking me to go back on the road, quite literally to Australia, to India, to China, to wherever, to play these games. And then you kind of want me to go straight into competing in, the best league in the world, in the Premier League. So some of that stuff probably needs to be looked at. And I don't really care for them at all in terms of those Premier League sides, but some of the pre-season schedules, quite honestly, are just disgusting. They really are. So although we didn't have that, there is something with us, and I said this time and again last year, where it's almost like a mental thing. It's like if you're a losing team, you're kind of, it's almost part and parcel in terms of getting injured. And it's not because you're avoiding games, but it's just because you're not in the right mindset and you're not, if you're winning games, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but like actually, if you're in the zone and you're enjoying what you're doing and you're going out and you're getting 3 points every week or whatever, your body's more likely to be able to cope with those demands. When you're going up and down a country as we were, and we were getting absolutely tonked by these, quite average teams, with all due respect to them, you're going to go, hold on a minute. This is not how I want to be living life, really. So yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't
No.
know. Is it Bearwood? Is it conditioning? I'm not sure. They looked fitter on Saturday in terms of the way they were pressing. But again, you're right, you had Tom McIntyre late on the game. We've already got injuries in kind of Sam Smith and so on. So yeah, we'll see how that one pans out. Rob Parker, th this kind of almost sounds like a joke to start with. He goes, "Did you hear about Tim Deller and Joel Pereira?"
Yeah.
And he kind of goes on saying, the rumor or the confirmation or whatever.
Right.
Rob, I don't listen to Tim, so I didn't hear him say that, but I did see it crop up on Twitter.
Yeah.
So thanks for that question, Rob. Ross, you kind of did a little bit of digging on. Is it Pereira? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, no, I think it's Pereira, and then the other options that are out there. Yeah, so yeah, goalkeeper's certainly not set. I don't know how, I mean, how you felt about Bouzanis on Saturday. Were you encouraged by that performance? Were you
I thought he was
worried?
better than I thought he was going to be. Give him credit for that. He made some good saves.
Yep.
Position for well was rubbish. But he wasn't. Sounds awful, doesn't it? First game of the season. He wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be,
Yeah.
but he's not a
No.
long-term solution to that.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. I thought the I was actually surprised again by some of the saves that Bouzanis made, but he's just, I don't know, just doesn't look he doesn't look big enough to be in that net. And I always had the same worry with Luke Southwood, like even when he was making some criminally good saves against like Fulham away, for example, he's just not really big enough in like the lower league. So yeah, I with goalkeeper, clearly we're not set, and two names have popped up in the last couple of days. So like you said, Tim Della mentioned Pereira. And so he was a player who was linked with us a few seasons ago as a Manchester United loanee. We ended up not getting him at that time. We ended up getting Emiliano Martinez. So it worked
Every
out.
cloud.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So that one was the one that was being rumored by Tim the other day, but that was rumored for Monday. It's getting on now, and it hasn't happened yet. So what is being rumored is David Button from West Brom, I believe. That one's a little more worrying even than Pereira, I would say. I actually kind of hope that Tim Dell is right in this situation. Button has played, championship football. Button has played it for a while, but he also hasn't played a lot of games in a season for a while, and that concerns you. His performances last season, when he did play, were poor. They were in that first half of the season West Brom team under Steve Bruce that were just abysmal. Couldn't even make John Swift look good. So, you know, you do wonder how much that was brought on by circumstance. But I mean, he's had sort of declining numbers now for about 5 years. So it's a little bit concerning. Only 33 years old, so maybe there's a chance for him to get better. But yeah, what are your feelings there?
My overriding memory of David Button, we played Brentford loads, but we played them, I don't know, I can't remember when it was. People listening to this going, like, you're getting this wrong, Ben. But he played for them between 2014 and 2016, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's the case. So at some point, I went to watch us play Brentford at the old Griffin Park, which is a stunning, stunning old ground, by the way, absolutely superb. This guy next to me spent the whole game, because it's really close. We were quite near the front as well. And yep. He just spent the whole game, every time Button either had the ball or was looking to do something, he would just start shouting, Button, like that repeatedly, like over and over again. And it got to the point where it was actually like really funny, like nothing. He just constantly did it to him. And I was just like, God, if you're a player, it's the most annoying thing in the world. But it was just really funny. And that's the only that's the only memory or the overriding feeling that I have of him. I've learned in this game now to be very, very reserved on players coming in and give them the benefit of the doubt and get behind them. So, you know, without going down the political route, no comment at this stage, apart from the one I just made about the guy shouting his name repeatedly.
Sure, fair enough. These are the little things about English football that I miss when I'm away.
Random.
Like, just random.
It was so stupid, but it was just so funny. So, yeah. We're going to head into the preview now. We've got two games coming up. So we are going to have a very short message, and then we'll be back with a preview of both the Millwall game and the Port Vale game.
There's another huge game ahead for the Royals. So be loud and be proud for the big match preview.
We've got Millwall tomorrow night in, I still call it the Fizzy Cup because it was the Coca-Cola Cup and it was...
Oh, yeah.
At some point. So I still call it that. But it's the League Cup. Let's do it the service. Personally, I couldn't care less if we win, lose or draw. I'd rather, you know, push ourselves on in the pizza trophy rather than the fizzy drink trophy.
Nice.
I'm not even going to ask you to predict the team, but what are you hoping is the best outcome from tomorrow night?
Do you know, I don't really mind, you know, I don't care about the fizzy cup. I think you're right that like pizza cup, that one I'm more interested in. I love it. They need to actually make a cup named after like a healthy food, considering, you know, this is football, it's exercise, you know, we want people to be healthy. But no, couscous cup. There we go. Perfect. That's what we'll call the FA Cup this season.
There you go.
I wouldn't normally care. But on the other hand, like if we can just get the winning run ended in a random like fizzy cup game, then like that'll be nice. And then there's a little less pressure on for Port Vale. There's better feeling around the club. But then at the same time, I'd like to start Vickers and Ahib Hatchiman, like I was saying earlier. So it's still a game where I'd be looking to bring in some players who didn't get a chance to play at the weekend, but maybe one for a wing to show what he can actually do in a game if he's ready to go, keep building up that match fitness. And he might be a player having only played about 25 minutes who can play twice this week. So yeah, look into the players who can maybe play twice this week to show us what they got against Millwall. But other than that, I'd still expect the kids.
And Port Vale, I guess, realistically, like, as you say, I think we're on like a 15-game league game losing streak, which, or 14 rather, as you said earlier. And then it's 15 if we lose at Port Vale, which I think becomes like the longest losing streak we've had.
I think that's right. Ever. Yeah. I could be one off, but I think that's right.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's, you know, and again, looking at how we played Saturday against, you know, potentially one of the favourites in the league in terms of Peterborough, you know, a lot of experience. In terms of Port Vale, you know, coming off a thrashing the way they did and the way that we, you know, we did play and the way that we might potentially play on Millwall. It's all ifs and buts at the moment. But I don't think there's any fear going into that game. You know, we might not get anything out of it, but actually, the confidence should be there. You know, there'll be a good following, as there will be tomorrow night, actually. Just kind of go up there, and, you know, we've not been there for a long time. Just go and give it some beans, basically, you know. And I honestly feel if we carry on playing the way that we're playing, we will get something. And I know that sounds really like, you know, patient Reading fan, blah blah blah. But actually, losing my voice already. It's only first game of the season. It's one of those where we just got to go and get the game done, get some points, come home, start again. And we're all absolutely desperate. I think I'd speak for everyone here when I say we just want to win a flipping game of football. That's all we want. So yeah, whether or not we wear our brand new third shirt, Ross, remains to be seen. What just to kind of close us out, what have you made of the new third chat?
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting one. This hasn't been my favorite year for Macron kits ever. And I wasn't able to get down to the Purple Turtle on Thursday night, unfortunately. I was at the wedding that I came back to go to, but it's certainly an interesting kit. I've never seen a turtle design before. It kind of goes into that same category for me as, like, you remember when some Spanish team made like a broccoli kit or something like that? You just pick something really odd and you go with it. It actually grew on me a lot as the weekend went on, though. It might be my favorite of the kits this year, and obviously it's going to have a part in Reading memory. It feels like an African violet in waiting sort of thing, in Reading kit history, you know. So it's certainly not the most aesthetically pleasing thing I've ever seen in my life. Not close. But you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be one that's going to be remembered for a long time. And in 5 to 10 years' time, we might care about that more. So, yeah, cool of the team to sort of engage with the club in that way. And anyone who's listening to this, if you haven't listened to Ben's interview with Tim Kilpatrick the other day, it was really good on the kit and the process behind that. So, yeah, check that out. What did you think of it?
I mean, look, I think it's going to go down as a classic. I know that it's sold out online in quite a lot of sizes, but I'm told from Tim himself that in the shop on, I think he said the 16th of August, which coincidentally is the same game or same time we play Cheltenham, or is it the day before? One of them. We're kind of nearly on this podcast today. We're not quite. We're almost there with our timings, but not quite. There will be loads in the shop, he says. So if you haven't got it online yet, don't worry, because you'll be able to get it from the shop with no problems at all. So yeah, that brings us to the end of this week's pod. We will be back next Monday. We're going to do a bit more of a kind of a focus on where we're at with the ownership, really, and what the possible options are. So we're going to kind of get into that a bit more. So if you've got any suggestions, or you want to get in touch with us, by all means, email us or drop us a line on Twitter or X, as it's now called. And we will go from there. Have a really good week. If you're going to the games this week, stay safe, enjoy them. Try and bring us back a couple of wins. That would be fantastic. Ross, go and get some sleep.
Can't
Enjoy
wait.
yourself. And we will see you next time. Come on, Reading.